Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
But let's get into Commanders Bucks here. I want to dive into a matchup we really like and a matchup that we don't. So give me your favorite matchup that you want Washington to take advantage of that you figure to be ideal in this game.
My answer is Austin Ekeler against pretty much everybody, right? Whether it's Lavonte David, whether it's, you know, J.J. Russell, whether it's a safety walking down. I think you've got an advantage with Austin Ekeler over pretty much anybody. I don't want to play smash mouth and run inside where Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi live. I don't want to do that. If you want to make them run sideline to sideline, I'm all in favor of that. Maybe get them off the field a couple different times. Maybe go old school Kyle Shanahan with personnel groupings that make it so that, you know, the big smart cars have to do extra work. I don't know. But to me, I like Ekeler on pretty much everybody that they got. More physical than a lot of the safeties and corners, and quicker and more agile than their linebackers. I think that is a huge matchup advantage for them.
Yeah, my favorite matchup for the Commanders to take advantage of is going to be the short and intermediate passing game. And I think Ekeler, who you just referenced, is going to be a big part of that. But if I'm isolating it to a player in a one-on-one, let's say, then I would point to maybe Terry McLaurin against either Jamel Dean, who's been on and off the injury report, or like Zion McCollum, like either one of their corners. In fact, normally Dean lines up on the right side, which would mean a lot of Terry McLaurin. Dean's a former third-round pick who's played at a high level at times in the league. But I like Terry having a decent game. I don't think the Tampa corners are a strength. That secondary is not a strength. I actually like Washington's second receiver at any given moment, whether that's Alamide Zaccheaus or De'Ami Brown or anybody else that they trot out there, like Jamison Crowder.
I like Ertz, too, in this one, yeah.
Well, to your
point. I know you're talking about receivers, yeah. I know. But
just wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I like them working against the secondary. And then lastly, to get to Ertz, who we've talked a lot about, in last week, Juwan Johnson of the Saints went like 8 for 80 against Tampa Bay, and they've given up big numbers, some crooked numbers to tight ends all year. One of the things that they love to do is they walk a fifth, sometimes a sixth guy up on the line of scrimmage, and they say, you're not running the ball on us. We've got Vita Vea, we've got Kalijah Kansi, we've got Yaya Diaby, who's just kind of standing there. They'll go 5 and 6 man fronts, and they will make you throw the football. Why this is the philosophy, I'm not really sure, because it's not what Bowles has always done. But if you watch them, this is their bit this year. It's Logan Hall, Vita Vea, Kalijah Kansi, Tryon Shoyinka, and then it's whoever they walk up, whether it's David on the interior or Diaby on the outside. Well, when they do that, they are susceptible in that kind of middle area, that underbelly of the defense, for tight ends running those pop and quick routes, those little stop routes underneath, little slants and stuff. And I do think Ertz is going to catch 6, 7, 8 balls in this game potentially if they do what they've done most of the year and just give teams that underneath stuff.
Yeah, here's the rub off it, though, is, you know, they're all so aware of stuff. Todd Bowles is really good at this in terms of concocting some of that pressure. Look at what Atlanta did, for example. Showed some of those blitzes and had a guy back off that fooled Daniels for that interception right there. Just really good defensive play to get a red zone turnover early on in that Atlanta game. Maybe, you know, Tampa has shown something, and then that one time when they needed on, call it 3rd and 6 or whatever, that's when they bail out and there's a guy there that you don't anticipate. The point is that you're going to expect the unexpected here in this game in terms of pressure and how to align stuff. But on paper, I think your point's 100% right, and we're both kind of feeding out of the same trough here. I think that short and intermediate passing game, I've circled Ertz and Ekeler, to me, are going to have very nice games. Because I think they're recognizing the way anybody, any opponent of Washington is going, the guy that can really kill us and beat us and you know, come up with some chunk plays and big yardage is McLaurin. We're going to bracket him. We're going to make Zaccheaus and De'Ami Brown and Jamison Crowder and this cast of misfits beat us. So, but included with that part and parcel, I think, is some of the underneath stuff, some of the stuff in the flat where you make one guy miss, or, you know, Ertz can kind of continue to work box out style, old school Antonio Gates back to the basket type stuff to be able to get some easy yards and easy completions going where you can maybe get to some of the more explosive stuff.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels, I think all year long, has also been exceptional at taking what he's been given too, but not forcing things. If you want me to throw the ball short, I'm happy to do it.
Sure.
If you're going to give me the flat in either direction, I'm not going to go broke. I'll take that profit. 4, 5, 6 yards at a time. What is interesting about Washington's offense, though, which we've joked early in the year, we called the horizontal raid, they ended up throwing more balls downfield 40-plus yards than anybody in the league.
Isn't that interesting?
They kind of lull you into that sense of security where it's, you know, paper cut, paper cut, paper cut, paper cut. And then you start to squat on some of that stuff a little bit. And then they try to get you over the top. It's also a strength of Daniels and has been since his college career to throw the deep ball. Now, it almost is always the deep ball along the sideline. Seems like that's what he really wants to do. Think about some of the Diami deep shots or the Terry throws down the field. Like when he's running the deep posts and stuff more in the middle of the field, he's overshot a bunch. If you think about it this year to McLaurin.
And a turtle, but I think you're right.
The stuff along the sideline outside the numbers, I mean, he is pretty sharp, like drops those in the bucket.
Think of that McLaurin touchdown both in Cincinnati or down the field against Philadelphia, that corner route, just dropping into the bucket there.
The Diami throw from his goal line to midfield. The Diami touchdown against Cleveland early in the
year. That's right, good pull.
On the sideline, down the field into the end zone. Like, the closer to the white paint, seems like the more accurate typically he is. And that shouldn't be a shock. Like, everybody makes fun of this and jokes about this. But one of the knocks on Daniels coming into the season, which is kind of bared out, is like down the field, middle of the field, has not been a huge part of their passing game. But the outside stuff is almost automatic. And I would dare to say he's been one of the best deep ball throwers in the league on some of that outside stuff since moment one. Remember the preseason game?
Absolutely, we checked to it.
I want to say it was like his second throw, maybe.
Yeah, the first one he threw, Jay Schrader style, 98 up and out of the zone, like a pitch out.
I don't even remember
that. Oh, it was a bingus. It was supposed to be a little dump off screen, and he Schradered it. I mean, he threw it so hard, so high.
This was in the Jets preseason game?
Yeah, preseason game. Then the next pass play, he checked to this. Let me put one in the bucket down the field to old Diami.
He dropped a 40-yard pass just right in over top of the outstretched hands of a defender with a step for his receiver, and it was perfect. But, like, he's done that most of the year. So I think you can get a couple of those in this secondary. I fully expect a couple of huge plays in the passing game for Washington because the Bucs will allow you to hit on a few of those as much as they're missing bodies in that secondary.
Yeah, I don't see them running the ball effectively. So you still have to matriculate.
Who's that? Talking
about Washington. So what are you going to do? Are you just going to beat your head against the wall?
Well, do what they've done for a month.
And that's kind of my point
here. Jaden Daniels is your running game.
Yeah.
And the short passing game is your running game.
And that's what I think happens. So, you know, I think they'll show some of the run looks so they can do stuff off of it. Because you have to demonstrate a willingness at least to do it here and there to get to the Daniels keepers, to get to the bootlegs, to get to some of the play action stuff. I don't think they're going to do the thing where they beat the head against the wall. They did that. I'm trying to remember the opponent. Maybe it was Atlanta. But there was somebody, they go, we're sure we can run the ball against this team. Maybe it was New Orleans. We can absolutely run it. It's a matter of time. And they kept doing it and doing it and doing it, and they couldn't at any point through four quarters. And then it was like, sorry, our offense has been bad today. Jaden, could you fix it? I don't think that's the plan here this week.